Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the broadcast. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. We are wrapping up our study in the book of Revelation here within the next few weeks. And we've been at it for, this will be the 19th week straight, I believe, or the 18th week, working through the book of Revelation, something I'd like to do annually, if the Lord tarries. Which I don't think he will be, but in any event, that's the plan. Today we're ready for chapter 19, and we're going to see a little bit of the marriage supper of the Lamb, some rejoicing in heaven, riders on white horses, and we're going to be doing a lot of referring to Old Testament passages, which has been my goal as we work through this study, to show you that this is, none of this is new stuff. You know, this is all prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament. Nearly everything. And I've mentioned this before, it's a tragedy that most Christians have thrown out 3/4 of their Bible. They don't obey 3/4 of the Bible, they don't read 3/4 of the Bible, they don't pay attention to 3/4 of the Bible. And that's a real tragedy, because the New Testament is really just commentary on the Old Testament. It's the Old Testament revealed, as some might say. And it's really, really unfortunate. But that is not the attitude that we have. We love all of God's Word and understand the importance of that. And you absolutely cannot understand the book of Revelation if you don't understand the Old Testament, if you don't have a foundation in the Old Testament. It's just not possible. But at any rate, let's just get started. I'm going to read chapter 19 to you, and then we'll work our way back through it. Also, just so you know, I'm going to tone down the music in this particular episode, because I've gotten an email. Some people believe the music's a little distracting, and so what I need from you guys in order to be able to make any changes or leave things the same is for you to come to the comments and specifically let me know if you prefer the music to be way, way down or non-existent during the reading. If you think it's a distraction or not. Also, if you're being fed and blessed through this work, you can support me, support this mission. Go to scriptureandprophecy.com. There's a donation support tab, mailbox, all of that stuff. I don't push products. I don't push books and DVDs and advertisements and all that. This is 100% supported by the listener and the listener only. So just putting that out there for you. With all that said, let's go ahead and get started. Revelation chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts all fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, that you fear him, both small and great. And I heard it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet and worshipped him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and Righteous. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of burning with brimstone, a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And that is chapter 19. All right, so let's work back through this, and we're going to look at some Old Testament passages, and actually, believe it or not, it's a short chapter. But there's actually a lot of areas that we can go that we can check out with this. So let's just start working through it. It says, After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which we talked about last 3 weeks. Presented some ideas for that. Which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and he hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose forever and ever. Now, Isaiah talks a little bit about this. If you go to Isaiah 34, you know, Isaiah actually talks about a lot of things. Just about everything in the book of Revelation you can find also in the book of Isaiah. If you go to Isaiah chapter 34, this is what Isaiah says about this very event, about this judgment. He says, Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all the things that come forth. For the indignation, which means wrath, of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine, as a falling fig from a tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of kidneys of rams. For the Lord has sacrificed in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks and the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Two more verses. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. And then here's the part that matches exactly with Revelation. And the smoke thereof shall go up forever and ever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. There's a whole conversation to take place just about those 10 verses that we just covered. Let's keep moving, though. Let's get to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says, and as I heard, it was the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. So you have this great multitude of people shouting, Alleluia. It's one of the few words, hallelujah, that is one of the few words that's a Hebrew word that everybody knows. And so, I don't know how language will work out, whether it'll just be supernaturally given, or if, because you see pictures through Revelation of everybody of different tongues and stuff, you know, praising God. But there's one word that we all know that's the same in every language, and that's hallelujah. The Hebrew word hallelujah, which literally means praise Yahweh. For the Lord God omnipotent reign. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his, listen to this, and his wife hath made herself ready. This is stuff that people miss all the time because, you know, in our remnant series that I've been doing, I've been talking a lot about people, you know, taking responsibility for their own selves and for their own actions and the way they live and walk and act before God. And how the Bible speaks to that over and over and over and over and over. And in this passage here, it's talking about the bride and his wife has made herself ready. She has gotten ready. She has prepared herself. You know, we talk about this in the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the marriage supper. And we're going to be talking about some of that stuff on Friday's podcast. And specifically about the marriage supper of the Lamb and all of that. And so it's going to be a podcast you don't want to miss. But it's important to point out, she made herself ready. She got ready for him. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That's what the fine linen represents. He goes on to say that. That's why in the parable of the marriage supper, you have at the very end this confusing thing. There's a guy there. There's a man there without no garment on. And Jesus says, the king says in the parable, you know, how did you get in here? You don't have a garment. And the man didn't know what to say, and the guy said, bind him up, but cast him in the outer darkness. He didn't have a garment. What are we talking about? We're talking about that clean, white garment that represents righteousness. That's why that man was cast into outer darkness. He lacked the garment. Verse 9, and he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Let's move on to verse 11. He says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge, and he makes war. So again, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah to see another picture of this. And we're going to go to chapter 11. We're only going to read the first 5 verses here. And it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after hearing of his ears. Verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove the iniquity for the meek and for the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Folks, he's coming back as judge. He's not coming back as buddy Jesus that's portrayed in, you know, Christianity today. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. He's coming back as judge, my friends. Verse 12 in the book of Revelation says this, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And check this out, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Now, there's a verse that comes to mind to me about this. You know, it's just like we argue, you know, well, I don't argue about it, but you see a lot of argument about how to pronounce God's name or even Jesus' name. You'll hear people say, no, it's Yahweh. No, it's Yahweh. No, it's Yahovah. No, it's Yahuwah. You know what I mean? And everybody's got this opinion, and everybody thinks they've got it figured out somehow. I would suggest to you that for whatever reason, none of us know how to call upon his name. We have been deceived over periods of generations and generations and generations and generations, and we just don't know. Some people try to look at the vowel markings in the Hebrew language, but the vowel markings were added way later by the scribes. They were not originally there, so we don't know what the vowel markings were. So unless you've got a recording of Abraham saying his name or Moses saying his name, then we don't know how it's pronounced. Same, even with Jesus, there's very little manuscript evidence out there that's not in Greek. So we don't really know what they called him. It's likely Yahushua or Yeshua, which is short for Yahushua, because his name means something specific, because he says, you will call his name likely Yeshua because he will save his people, and that's what Yeshua means. The point is we really don't even know what to call him, literally. You know, we say Jesus, that's our English word for it. But if you go look at the 1611 Bible, it wasn't Jesus. It was pronounced a completely different way. Here's my point. It says in verse 12 that his eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And I just find that interesting, and it reminds me of the passage in Zephaniah. If you go to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, it says, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Wait, I've got the wrong verse here. Zephaniah. Oh, no, I've got the wrong verse written down. But basically, what he says is that in that day, he will restore to himself a pure language. And I'm sorry, I've lost the actual verse. And I could look it up, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. It says, in that day, it's in the book of Zephaniah, I will restore for myself a pure language that they may call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what I think of when I see Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, where it says he's got a name that no man knew but himself. And when he comes back, Messiah is going to restore a pure language, which I believe is the Hebrew language, except he's going to restore it properly, and we will know exactly what to call him at that point. And so that's what sticks out to me when I see that verse, and I just found that really, really interesting. Moving on, verse 13 says this, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And if you remember in the book of 1 John, the Gospel of John, the first thing John says, well, let's just go read it real quick. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus is referred to as the Word. He is the Word of God. He is in all ways the Word, the spoken Word of God. And that's what Revelation is saying here. By the way, his vesture is dipped in blood. It's because he's coming back to go to war, folks. He's coming back to judge with a rod of iron. And he is called the Word of God. We can also go to Isaiah 63. Let's do that real quick. Lots of Isaiah here. Isaiah chapter 63. Verse 1 through 4 says this, "Who is it that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozara? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling with greatness in his strength. I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art red in thine apparel," talking about the blood of his garments, "and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat." It's another picture, his garments being dyed red, you know, from the blood. It looks like wine, Isaiah says. "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." Folks, do you get the picture? He's not coming back to play patty cake. This is serious. And there's going to be some people on the wrong end of this thing. It's amazing people's view of who Jesus is versus what the scriptures say. He's righteous and holy. And he's coming back as judge. Let's read 17 and 18 and then we'll finish up here. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." See, there's going to be so much judgment and death. The angel saying, come birds, because you're going to eat the flesh of these men. You're going to eat the flesh of these kings, of these captains, of these mighty men. These men who thought they were special are going to be eaten by birds. Their flesh will be eaten by birds. We see that prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. Like I said, all of this stuff is prophesied in the Old Testament. If you read the Old Testament, you'll understand the book of Revelation with very little problem, with the exception of a couple of mysteries. But if we go to Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 17 through 19, "And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of mighty, and drink the blood of princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, of goats and bullocks, of all them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat the fat till ye be full, and drink the blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you." It's all there, folks. It's all there in the Old Testament. But that is Revelation chapter 19, and it's a picture of Jesus coming back as judge. And it says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And we're going to talk about what that looks like to be invited. You know, the scriptures say, many are called, but few are chosen. And we're going to be talking about some of that this week as we wrap up our Remnant series as well. We'll be checking that out probably on Friday. Next week we'll be reading, we've got a couple more weeks left of the book of Revelation. We still have chapters 20, 21, and 22 to go through. And I believe next week deals with the millennial reign and the Feet of Satan. So it'd probably be another podcast I got to do a lot of research for, because there's endless scriptures in the Old Testament about what the millennial reign will look like. And we could spend 2 hours talking about that. And we're going to try to condense it down into about 30 minutes. So I'm going to do the best I can. And hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. Let me know what you thought about the podcast today in regards to the music that I normally play in the background. Without it today, as I read the scriptures, let me know what you think about that. I pray that this is a blessing to you, and that, you know, this is feeding you in some way and giving you an understanding that maybe you didn't have before. For me, cross-referencing the Old Testament is just life-changing, and it's amazing. You know, we've got all these tools today at our disposal that no generation has had, as far as being able to study the Word of God. You've got eSword. I use 2 Bibles when I'm sitting at the table studying, because for the references that point to other scriptures, and it's so easy to cross-reference, and so easy to. We've got all these tools, but so few care enough to use them. They're out there for you. They're available. You know, eSword, as an example, is free software. If you've got a computer, you can download it for free, and it has cross-references and commentaries and things for you that you can use, and I recommend that you do, because we need to be good Bereans and search the scriptures daily. Daily, the scripture says, to see whether or not these things are so. That's all I got for you today. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until later on this week, God bless.